Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast. Aloha! Welcome, tech fans, to this week's edition of the UK Tech Weekly Podcast. Back from outer space with happy looks upon our collective face, this is your regular weekly pod, brought to you by the editors of PC Advisor, Techworld, Macworld UK and Computerworld UK. Every week we form a human pyramid in our specially designed audio big top, mining our collective mind to bring you no more than 40 minutes of informed discussion on the hot tech topics of the past 7 days. That crystal clear high fidelity noise you can hear comes courtesy of our sponsor, Audio Technica, who provided the mics on which we are throwing together this monkey business. I'm Matt Egan, Editorial Director of IDG UK, and today I am thrilled to be joined in chat by the irrepressible Lewis Painter, staff writer of PC Advisor.
Hello, hi.
The irresistible Christopher Manassians, staff writer of Macworld UK.
Hola, senor.
The irreplaceable Chris Martin, the consumer tech editor of PC Advisor.
Hello.
And the irredeemable David Price, acting editor of Macworld UK.
And you're always going to get the funny one.
Yeah, you're the butt of the joke. This week we were discussing social interaction, Kanye West and VR, whilst attempting to stop things becoming too antisocial, going south and requiring intervention from HR. It's a tall order, but there's a first time for everything. So strap yourselves in, here we go. So, Lewis, I understand that the future's made of virtual reality. What the hell is going on?
Can I just have that as an intro? I want that as an intro to every VR-related article on the website.
Just... Absolutely. Yeah, we use that as a little audio sting.
It's kind of copyrighted Jamiroquai.
What?
Probably.
That guy's not... Don't worry about him.
He has enough hats.
He's got hats, he's got cars. He's fine. I don't know if he's got a photographer once, though. Okay. Has he got... bringing it back... Has he got a virtual reality headset? And if he does, what would it be? What the hell's going on with VR, Lewis?
Well, VR looks to be the big thing this year. I mean, MWC was taken over by VR. I mean, Samsung used it to announce the Galaxy S7. Mark Zuckerberg snuck in and made an appearance. That was pretty random.
Weird.
And you got the Oculus Rift, you know, the kind of premium headsets, and the HTC Vive Pre. They've both gone, they're up for pre-order at the moment. Start shipping this month and next month, which is pretty exciting. And then you got PlayStation's VR headset, which is due out this year as well. So it's kind of the big premium headsets are all coming out this year. So it's kind of where the VR is going to kick off.
And is it going to kick off? Because we talked about this a lot. One of the reasons we wanted to get you in today to talk about this is, you know, VR is a bit like 3D You know, it's one of those things that every year is the year of VR. But this year kind of feels different.
It kind of feels different. When 3D was introduced, it was kind of, you know, very expensive. You had to get special TVs for it and you had to wear the glasses. I mean, I know VR is kind of a similar situation, but, Facebook is a good example of a website that hosts VR content that you don't need a VR headset to enjoy. So they've got their 360-degree videos, and you can hold them up and use the gyroscope in your phone to kind of look around the environment as you would. But you can also swipe and have a little look that way, and that's an interesting way of, a different way of looking at VR, that where you don't need the expensive headset and you don't need any flashy equipment.
Well, expensive is the word, isn't it? You said premium earlier as well.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit scared by how much all this stuff is going to cost, and I'm a bit worried that you're going to rush off and buy it, because I know what you're like.
I know, I'm fighting every urge in my body not to do one at the moment.
You could use your VR headset while you're riding around on your hoverboard, flying your drone.
If you've got a HTC Vive Pre, they've got a little camera at the front as well, so I could actually do that.
They're not that expensive.
Well...
Right.
So let's talk about it. So the Vive Pre, is that what
the
pronounce it?
Vive Pre.
Vive
That's
Pre.
How I say
Vive
it.
Pre, Vive Pre. Let's call the whole thing off. That is what, $600 in the US?
£680 and $799.
Okay.
But that doesn't include shipping. Shipping is another £57.60.
So that is expensive by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about getting early adopters to buy cutting edge tech, it's not outrageously expensive.
This is less than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And we're talking like not much more than a high-end phone.
Yeah.
And people are happy to buy phones. So,
but a phone is something you need and is fundamental and is used in many ways. Whereas this is, at the moment, forgive me, but kind of a gimmick and will become maybe mainstream. I don't know.
I think the years of it being a gimmick are gone.
Yeah.
I think all those years where it was like, this is the year of VR, were all just like beta type years. And now you can actually buy it, get it home, use it. The amount of stuff you can do with it is just going to shoot up.
But you can use it for less things than a phone, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, oh, definitely. But if you think about the tech in it, it's completely different. So
sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if such a new category was more expensive.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about this last week, but it's the equivalent of when the VHS recorder first became available. And it was the cost. It was the third most expensive thing you could buy after your house and your car. But people bought them because they saw other people with them and they liked them. And very quickly the price went down, which I guess if VR is successful, if these consumer headsets are successful, scalability means the price will go down.
Fingers crossed.
Which headsets do we think, I mean, you guys are the experts, who's going to win this battle?
Well, that's an interesting one because the Oculus Rift is arguably the most famous out of all of them. They started, quite a few years ago kind of developing their headset. And then Facebook bought them for like $2 billion, which is kind of an insane amount of money for a social network to buy a VR company for. I mean, that kind of shows in itself that, there's uses beyond gaming for virtual reality. But I've got a blank. What was the question?
Well, I'll answer a bit. Well, I'm reading Lewis's notes here, so I'm stealing his things. But HTC's has gone on pre-sale, a pre-order, and they've already sold 15,000 in 10 minutes.
Sure.
Which is 25 a second. So
you've got to say fair enough to that, haven't you?
That's a pretty good win to start off with.
It is. I'll tell you an interesting thing, though, and this is just a complete tech journalist observation, which may or may not be worthwhile. But you could still buy it like hours after it first went on sale. So, and if that was, generally speaking, what tech companies do, generally speaking, and maybe HTC haven't done this, but is they throttle supply so that demands increase, so that, you have to queue to get your iPhone on day one.
Yeah.
So I do wonder whether they were expecting to sell more. It's pure speculation, but maybe they were expecting to sell more.
It's interesting because when the Oculus went on pre-order, within a day, the pre-order stretched back until July. So people that order go on the website now aren't going to get the headset until July when it starts shipping in March.
Sure.
Whereas if you go on the HTC website today, it will still say available from April, which is when they had it up from the beginning.
Yeah.
Now they could be getting around that just by saying it starts in April, but we're not going to say when yours is going to come. And like
HTC, as a smartphone manufacturer, albeit a smartphone manufacturer that is smaller than you think, it does have the power of being able to tap into that Chinese manufacturing process of the likes of people like Foxconn, whereas Oculus is a startup, essentially. So it is entirely possible that they just don't have the manufacturing sorted out. The Oculus Rift, is that now the consumer headset that's available to buy?
Yeah, that's the consumer version.
And how much does that cost?
That is $599 or £499,
which
people aren't very happy about that, especially because the CEO of Oculus said a few months before it was went off a pre-sale that it would it'll be sold at cost effectively.
Right.
So, it'd be pretty cheap. Everyone would be able to get their hands on it. And then 2-3 months later, they're bringing out kind of £500 price tags and people weren't very happy about it.
That was the main problem, was going back on that promise.
Exactly.
It would have been fine if it just hadn't said it, the thing.
Yeah.
And then
they've got a bit of history of that, though, haven't they? Because that release dates and everything, they've consistently and in quite an endearing way leaked information that's then turned out to be wrong.
Yeah.
And been slightly shambolic in their approach. And so is there a question of, so typically speaking, when a new category of device is pushed in this way, there is a kind of compatibility battle because ultimately it's content that will sell the devices. So where's the content coming from that's going to work on the HTC's device? Where's it coming from that's going to work on the Oculus device? Because presumably the PlayStation thing, that's all locked down. That's Sony. Sony is a content company, actually. Is there a conflict there?
So this is what I'm trying to find out at the moment, because there's not really a lot online about it, because Oculus, you know, Oculus Rift support was built into Windows 10. So if you've got Windows 10, you can just plug in your Oculus Rift and you can go. And then VR-enabled games should be available to you. Whereas with HTC's headset, you need something called Steam VR.
Right.
Because obviously HTC partnered with Valve, who owns Steam, the PC gaming platform.
Sure.
So games like Elite Dangerous, but that HTC has advertised as being HTC Vive compatible, have Steam VR compatibility on their Steam page. So that means that you'll be able to use it with the Vive and it'll be fine. Whereas other games that have VR support don't mention Steam VR. And I've reached out to HTC to get confirmation on this and whether it's just come something at their end that they haven't sorted out properly, or whether developers will need to code in specific support for each headset, and they're going to get back to me hopefully today or tomorrow about that.
So that's interesting, because, I mean, what does compatibility mean anyway in that sense? Are they, if it is officially VR compatible for the HTC device, does that mean that it's literally immersive, you can walk around the game, or does it just mean certain features or certain elements of the game?
So this is the other issue, because the Oculus Rift measures kind of head movement and you know, leaning forwards, leaning backwards, whereas the HTC Vive Pre provides you with two handheld controllers that allow you to interact with your environment, and it allows you to get up and walk around.
Wow.
Obviously, that kind of thing, it requires extra code.
Of course.
So that, you know, I'm not expecting to be able to jump into GTA and be able to walk around straight away. But I want to, what the question is whether the headset, just the headset compatibility is kind of, you know, universal. That's the real thing. Because if it's not, if there's fragmentation, even between the Vive and the Rift, there's going to be issues down the line.
Yeah, of course. And then presumably that means that only one or two platforms can survive in this space.
Yeah. Which is never a good thing.
Interesting. So quick round the room before we finish our discussion on VR. Interested, going to buy, do you think in the next year to 18 months you'll be interested in buying a VR headset? Go, Chris Martin.
Probably.
Lewis.
100%.
Christopher?
I don't think so, no.
David Price?
No. some way down the line, but I'm never an early adopter. Yeah. I don't think it's a good idea.
I think I'm pretty much in your camp. Interestingly, we just pretty much divided along age lines. So we might learn something there. Okay, great. Thanks, guys. We're going to take a short gap now. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking about the way that smartphones are changing the way we behave in the real world. So, Christopher, you've been observing something about the way that smartphones change social behaviour. What's on your mind?
Well, it actually came through me coming to work, commuting in, and I see all these people glued to their phones constantly and not actually realising their space around them. I understand that being social when you're in a commute is not exactly the first thing on your mind, but at least looking up and not, say, trampling on some other person's foot would be a great...
Did someone stand on your foot, Christopher?
Yeah. But it's mainly the fact of... Because I've heard this quite a lot, and there's actually quite a few marketing campaigns. People who created like Facebook posts, ironically, on social media, saying if you stop spending all your time on your phone, you'll actually meet a new person, and that new person might be, say, the love of your life, for example.
Sure.
It was quite touching, and it was quite interesting to actually see that sort of marketing campaign. Well, a marketing campaign is more of a person that thought, I'm against people looking at their smartphones the whole time. But it also kind of links into how the world is moving. Everyone has smartphones in their hands. People are always online. And funnily enough, I know it's quite old, but in 2013, O2, as in the mobile provider, they conducted a little survey, and they found out that people are spending more time on their phones rather than their partners.
Right.
And that, to me, is
more
really
more time on
alarm.
Their phones than on their partners.
There we go. No, but as in with their partners. So it's actually quite alarming, considering your partner obviously is your other half, so your wife or your husband or whoever it is, a boyfriend, girlfriend. You'd surely expect to spend more time with them than with your smartphone. And the survey found that, no, actually people spend more time on their smartphone, which was about 2 hours a day versus, I think it was like 80 minutes or something like that.
Sure.
Which, little bit less, but 80 minutes a day with their partner.
It was funny, a couple of years ago there was an Apple ad which was all about using your iPhone and iPad to interact with your family. I don't remember right. It was one of the first made in California ads, and every instance, so it was someone FaceTiming or they were taking photos of their children, stuff like that. Every instance, the interaction was going through a display.
Absolutely.
And it really struck me what you're saying. You know, I think it's entirely true. And I have a young daughter, and my wife and I have to be really careful. We've had to train ourselves not to constantly have our faces in our phones when we're around her, because then what are we teaching her?
Well, exactly. There's a whole generation of young children that are growing up with their parents. They're having to compete with their parents' smartphones for attention. And I'm the same as you. I have a two-year-old and a baby. And luckily I have the safety valve of a wife who is very aware of this and will say, can you maybe stop playing Field Runners 2 for a moment and look at your son? But it's not just smartphones as well. There was an article on The Onion a few years back about how we spend all of our time looking at glowing rectangles, particularly if you're working in an office like I do. Then in the morning I watch breakfast TV, then I commute to work and I'm looking at my smartphone and my iPad on the way in, then I'm looking at my Mac all day long, then I go home and I look at my smartphone, and then I watch TV in the evening, and the entire day has been mediated through screens.
Absolutely.
There was some research done, this was 2 or 3 years ago, that suggested that that life that you just described, and mine were broadly similar, listen to podcasts on the way into work, all that stuff, that we have, in the first sort of 3 hours of our day, we have more input, we have more stimulation than somebody who was born pre-1910 would have in their entire life.
Wow.
because we are constantly pouring information into ourselves. But I suppose, you know, in order to move the conversation on, the question I would ask is that necessarily a bad thing? I mean, we're worried about teaching our children to look at displays, but that's what we do all the time. My mother-in-law gets really worried about my nephew playing computer games, but my nephew's a really bright kid, and the fact that he's playing a computer game, often a fantasy game actually, it isn't, in my mind, all that different from him reading a book, which he also does, by the way. But his grandma is just thinks it is just automatically bad that he's looking at a computer screen. And I don't know what I think about this. I'm just being devil's advocate. But you know, we are often socially interacting through our devices. So is it necessarily a bad thing?
There's definitely a sense of cultural superiority from things like books. The longer a cultural medium is around, the more we think it's a legitimate way to spend time. And you go back to the start of the novel, and young women reading novels were considered to be wasting their time. And now, you know, you're there with your book on the tube and you're Mr. Culture. And it's all relative, isn't it?
It's true. I was just going to mention, in terms of books, I mean, there's that discussion about libraries versus internet.
Sure.
So my mum was always telling me, I used to go to the library to find out my information, whereas you just type it on Google or type it on your search engine and you find your answer. And there's two sides of the argument. One is the internet gives me much more information and much broader opinion, whereas a book won't give me that broad opinion, rather a specific author's opinion. So I'm getting more information. As you said, the more information I get, the better to write my paper or just to find out more information about how to do a certain thing. But at the same time, you're not going to find the information.
Well, and you're also not going to find the accidental information. That's the thing.
So
if you can just go straight to the search. I mean, again, there's this kind of panic about the idea that children don't retain, children, young adults don't retain facts because they don't need to, because they find them, right? We all used to remember phone numbers.
Yeah.
We don't need to remember phone numbers now. You know, arguably, and I think demonstrably, that's not necessarily all that bad of a thing, as long as we're sort of using our brains for other stuff. But there is something about, and it's the same way that people acquire. So David and I are of an age where we probably.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Probably used to go to Our Price and buy CDs on a Saturday afternoon. Oh, yeah. Right, that was how we acquired music. You heard something on the radio, you thought that's interesting, you went and bought the rest of that artist's music.
Or taped it.
And somebody else, in the record shop might say to you, "Oh, if you like that, you should try this." And it was kind of much more personal recommendation. Now, if you like a song, you hear an artist, you can immediately hear everything of that artist. And the likelihood is that's what you will do. So it's just a different way of acquiring. And it's actually in some ways slightly narrower.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But again, I'm not convinced that's necessarily a bad thing, because I'm scared of sounding like an old fogey.
Oh.
But it is different, and it, you know, in the same way as education used to require us to learn a number of facts and then regurgitate them on the page.
Yeah.
It's kind of no point doing that any more than there was point me knowing how to do complex sums on paper when I had a calculator at the side of me. The only point of it is the acquisition of the knowledge is in and of itself a good thing, because it stimulates and develops your brain. And potentially we're at danger of losing some of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And just bringing it back to in terms of social interaction, I just thought to say, I mean, there's certain pictures on the internet which I don't know how valid they are, but
Where's this going, Christopher?
Well, there's it's me in a mankini, that's what it is.
Did not expect that.
it's more the fact that people are saying people are antisocial now, and then there's a picture of people in a train. Yeah. Back, I don't know when with all their papers in their hands. So, you know, there is an interaction that's gone there because people are reading their papers.
Sure.
And, I mean, similar on that point, we were saying about having screens fixated to us. Lewis just had a great knowledge and great piece on VR. You know, how does that link in as well? So, you know...
Yeah, why would we want to interact with other human beings when we can exist in a perfect... paradise virtual reality? What is the point at which we all just disappear into our rooms and never come out again because virtual reality is better?
Possibly after listening to this podcast.
And I mean, that's another point. And a lot of people were opposed to, say, Google Glass.
Yeah.
So Google Glass, I didn't mention it just in the VR part because it's not quite VR.
Well, it's AR really, isn't it?
It's AR, exactly.
Yes, Matt.
But I mean, that's something that's something that's quite interesting to me, because Google Glass had a massive marketing campaign. Loads of people were hyped about it. And then that suddenly died down, considering, well, it was just too expensive. And we had the discussion about how expensive are VR headsets.
Mm.
I think it was socially unacceptable. I think you're right.
It's socially,
I think
that's
what killed it, is that people found it intrusive and annoying.
So. Yeah, I think also you've got to understand Google's decision to make Glass, which was more to do with the underlying tech than the product itself. Indisputably, at this stage, it's a failure. But I think the idea was to try and generate interest around the benefits of actually AR, which is a commercial thing. Google's an advertising company. It wants people, when they're walking down the street, to be advertised at, based on location and based on what they're looking at. I think it is a really interesting point, because maybe this is the point at this stage where people are uncomfortable with that, where they want to actually see the street they're walking down, not a representation of the street they're walking down, even if that gets them a pound off a coffee at Starbucks or whatever.
See, I thought the real issue with Google Glass was the camera. Because people didn't like the idea of the fact that they could be, you know, photographed or roamed at any of these in any given situation.
Sure.
I mean, I don't think I'd mind if someone was sat across me and kind of getting notifications just, you know, on their headset.
But I think maybe the point is that people themselves minded. Like this whole idea
I don't know, but this whole idea of Google Glass, oh, that's really exciting, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, I tried it out. Yeah, it's kind of cool. Would I want to walk around the street with that being my experience? I don't know.
No. It wasn't the best looking thing either.
No.
No. It's kind of come at it from a, you know, more fashionable angle.
For sure. Okay, interesting stuff. So let's quickly go around the room. Are we, let's just, simple question, yes or no, are we concerned about the way that all these displays in our lives are making us interact with one another or not interact with one another? Chris Martin.
Yes.
Lewis Painter. Oh, right. Chris.
Yes.
David.
No, I'm not worried.
Yeah, I think I'm not worried either. I think it's just a natural, it's evolution. Come back in a couple of years, none of us will have any arms. Just have massive displays for eyes. Excellent. Okay, now we've sorted that out, we're going to have a very short break, and then we're going to come back to talk about something called Kanye West. So, David, I believe that someone called Kanye West has done something about which I should be interested. What's the deal with that?
Kanye has made a bit of a gaffe. Possibly. In the ongoing roller coaster that is Kanye West's public life, he has tweeted a photo of a computer on which was YouTube playing a song by Sufjan Stevens. And
I've heard of Sufjan Stevens.
Sufjan Stevens is brilliant.
That one won't wait. That's not the Green Door guy, is it? No, that's Sufjan Stevens, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. The song is called Death with Dignity, if you're interested. And, Kanye just tweeted this picture, and then people noticed that the other tabs on the computer were pretty much all on various illicit websites. They were all
PC
torrents,
Advisor,
Advisor, Macworld, Pirate Bay, a Pirate Bay search for a piece of synthesizer software, which retails for $200, various things like this. And Kanye has in the past been very, very publicly in favor of paid for streaming. Obviously, he's involved in the Tidal web streaming service. And so, obviously, people jumped on this and said, "What's going on here? You're a hypocrite, and you're stealing software. There was, I think, Media Downloader was open as well, so you're stealing music as well." So it seems like a bit of hypocrisy. But then Kanye's people
hypocrisy.
And then Kanye's people came back and said that it was all a joke. And the reason he was doing this was because everyone's been torrenting Kanye's album, which Lewis is called
something to do with a man's name.
Yeah, Pablo.
Pablo, yeah.
The Life of Pablo. I can't believe I knew that and Lewis didn't.
So he was trolling.
Yeah, possibly.
Can we get Lewis to do his tra-la-la-la noise?
Tra-la-la-la-la. Very good. But the it goes even further than this, because the excuse has a hole in it. Because he said, no, that was Kanye tweeting a picture of somebody else's computer because it's a Samsung computer and Kanye only uses Macs. But very clearly, to anyone that knows anything about computers, it was a Samsung monitor and running Mac OS X. So it was a Mac, and he's not telling the truth. So it's all a bit confusing.
Lewis, you have an opposing viewpoint?
Yeah, I mean, the reason I didn't know what the name of the album was because I can't stand the man. I think he's more of a kind of walking contradiction more than anything.
I like that.
I mean, apart from what's happened this week, there was a tweet that he sent out kind of a few months ago where he was moaning about apps that had in-app purchases and that kids, right. You know, have all these apps and they're doing all these in-app purchases and stuff like that, but yet Kim Kardashian has the most popular app on the App Store that is full of in-app purchases.
Hang on. Who's she and why does she relate to this story?
She breaks the internet.
Right.
She's
so confused.
Kanye West's other half, should I say.
His squeeze.
His squeeze. His bae.
His bae.
Yeah. I mean, she's just as bad as he is on social media. Kind of, they're both.
But this is like the private eye thing where They always hang people out to dry in newspapers if they have an article that disagrees with what an advertiser says.
Yeah.
So in this case...
And also if they have an article that agrees with what that
exactly, because if Kanye had come out and said, you know what I like? In-app purchases. Then everybody would have said, well, that's just because your wife has a free app that has in-app purchases. So he said something that disagrees with what is in his wife's interest, and you're hanging him out for that as well. I agree with him. I think it is disgusting that children are being given
apps. I agree with that.
With in-app purchases. And I agree with him wholeheartedly. I do know what you mean, though. He's a bit annoying sometimes.
He's a bit kind of tongue-in-cheek.
But he's kind of a troll. But yes. I thought this was interesting because despite the problem with the Samsung computer, should we call it a misunderstanding, I believe him. I think it was a joke because what always happens on Twitter is that people make light-hearted comments, they make jokes, and nobody gets it, and then they get jumped on. And this is a classic tweet storm, I would say.
Yeah. But what, so let's look at the underlying issues, you know, to understand why it matters. So he's got an album out. He's a big name. Indisputably, lots of people will be without paying for it, downloading that.
Yeah,
that
it's one of the most pirated albums.
Because it's one of the most popular albums, presumably. Yeah. Certainly with the demographic of
But also because he only made it available on Tidal.
Exactly. Right.
So you have to sign up for Tidal. Yeah. And that didn't actually go that badly. Tidal became the number one app.
Right.
So it did work. But then a lot of people also went, well, I can't buy it through the normal means, so I'm going to pirate it.
Sure.
Which is obvious, I don't agree with, but you can sort of understand.
But it's interesting that we're here in 2016 and still there's this, you know, because there's a feeling in some ways that the music industry, having been very late to understanding the internet, has somewhat got beyond that now. That there was this glorious period of 40 or 50 years where selling physical copies of music made you incredibly rich. And that's kind of over now, and we're back to where we were before, which is the publishing rights for music, broadcasting rights for music, streaming, all of those things will earn you a very good living, but we're not going to have these staggeringly wealthy people. But the people who create music can earn a good living if it's popular. And yet still, we continually bump into sort of controversies around digital rights and music. Or is that just me being out of the loop?
I still don't think it's been settled. I think a lot of people are still resistant to the idea of paying for any digital media.
Sure.
And we get this a lot in journalism, which has sort of affected us a bit later than a lot of the other industries because
yeah.
it's ad blocking that's hitting us. It's
Absolutely.
People who are not willing to pay for digital content. They're not even willing to be advertised at while they're consuming it for free. I think the genie is out of the bottle, to use one of our phrases from previous podcasts, and there is a large proportion of the population that won't pay on principle and think they are entitled to whatever digital content they can get their hands on through any means.
I was going to move this on to ad blocking, actually, so I'm really interested that you went there, because I think that's exactly right. I actually think that the, for want of a better word, content business, online content business, is broadly speaking where music was a few years ago. And I'm pretty convinced that most people who ad block don't do it necessarily because they don't want to be advertised at. They do it because we, as in media companies, have created an environment in which advertising is really uncomfortable and it creates a slow and buggy experience. And ad blockers make things quicker and better. I'm not advocating the use of ad blockers, by the way. I personally don't use an ad blocker, but that's because ads pay for my mortgage. But the answer to it, and I think that we've seen this a bit in music as well, and it kind of speaks back to what I just said, is that there is too much supply at the moment. There are too many people writing the same stories across, like, the whole newspaper model. And as long as there is that supply, demand in terms of the yield that we get from advertisers will remain relatively low. And that means that we have to put lots of adverts on pages, and therefore the experience will be bad, and some people will block ads. And the long-term future for it is either people pay for content, which may happen, and if you're the Financial Times, they've got a brilliant business that already goes, because the Financial Times has unique information you can't get anywhere else. Or there won't be as many publishers around in the future, and that will probably be, broadly speaking, a good thing, because you won't get, you know, because you will get only, in principle at least, the best information that's got, or the most popular information that's available.
I think there's a lot of hypocrisy around the free culture. This is what my initial reaction was when I saw the Kanye West tweet, was that this is classic, everything is different for me.
Yeah.
And I see this, and I sometimes have discussions with people that use ad blockers on our site. I moderate the comments to my constant depression, is that everybody thinks that it's okay for them to do it. And so I used to talk a lot to a friend of mine who's a musician, And he used to get very angry about things like LimeWire. This will give you an idea of how long ago I used to talk to him about.
Is your friend Kanye West?
I wish. Actually, he's really poor, actually, isn't he? He's in debt, so he couldn't give me money. Anyway, and so this friend of mine was very strident about LimeWire, but was quite happy to copy computer games off, sure, of our friends, for example, and you know, everything else except what he, yeah, personally had a financial interest in, because he was a budding professional musician. He thought that was the great issue. And I think a lot of people in journalism have been caught on the hop a little bit as well, yeah, because we naturally tend to be sort of have this liberal outlook of, oh, information wants to be free, and, oh, you know, the music industry has been exploitative in the past, and now suddenly it's our industry that's getting done. And you had this with book publishing as well, when e-books started to be copied and pirated. So it sort of fit in with that Kanye West has, on the one hand, this public stance against piracy and has suffered from it. You know, that's not... not just make-believe, he absolutely has lost materially through it. But on the other hand, he doesn't really want to spend $200, yeah, on a piece of software.
But I also wonder, just to take up on that last point, I do wonder whether he has lost, because someone, this is very dodgy territory to get into, but someone streaming or downloading your music and not paying you isn't the same as them taking money out of your pocket.
No,
it might actually, yeah, promote your content. You know, there have been occasions where people who aren't famous have had hit records off the back of their music being shared around. And one of the things I thought
was
interesting...
The Arctic Monkeys that started off that way, from MySpace?
Well, that was the PR spin their record company put on their history. When you look into it, they had a MySpace site for a very short time before.
So it was just word of mouth?
Pretty much, yeah. But the what I was going to say then was to do with the journalism thing. The UK editor of the Huffington Post recently made a ridiculous comment about how he didn't pay his journalists because their content was, quote, more truthful, yeah, because it was free, which quite correctly created an outrageous backlash. But I did wonder how many of those people who were being outraged about this use ad blockers.
Absolutely.
Because the reality, yeah, is... we know that something between 30 and 50% of the population use ad blockers. I'm pretty confident that those kind of more tech-savvy people who got into that story, which is a bit of a media storm, it would be a higher percentage. Mm. So, you know, it's quite all right to be, to your point, it's quite all right to be, and correct to be outraged at someone suggesting that journalism should be free. But if you're ad blocking, you're not paying for journalism. So you are a hypocrite, my friend.
Just let that sink in.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So I think have we fully covered the Kanye West situation? I'm going to go around the room, and the question I'm going to ask is: Kanye West, hero or fool? Chris Martin,
fool.
Lewis Painter,
fool.
Christopher,
I actually think he's a hero.
Oh. David Price.
Well, I don't agree with either of those things. I think he's a genius.
Okay,
but slightly foolish from time to time.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure who he is. I kind of lost track. I kind of lost track of his career around the time of Ice Baby.
He's similar to Bing Crosby.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I like him. I think him with Bowie was great. Brilliant. Well, I think we've covered all the topics of the day, and I'd like to thank all of you for contributing, and I'd definitely like to thank you for listening, listener. You're great. Do get in touch to let us know your thoughts and opinion, and to shake us down for cash.
What does that
you
mean?
Can tweet us at UK Tech Podcast or email editor@idg.co.uk. Put the word podcast in the subject line and we probably won't delete it unread. We'll be back next week with more informed opinion and wisecracks and nonsense on the hottest topics in tech, courtesy of our good friends and sponsors, Audio Technica. Until then, say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.